Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, January 13th, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us by live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find them banners on the right-hand side of a website at which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab, top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week with our scripture reading. We're in the Gospel of John. So we're in chapter 10. So the Gospel of John, chapter 10, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not, but if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan, into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there.
Okay, Jen, do we have any questions tonight? If you're speaking, your mic is still off.
Sorry, John, I stepped away for a minute. There are no questions tonight.
Okay, all right, so we'll get right down to business tonight. Okay, what we're doing tonight is we're going to read the indictment that we put together. We're going to try to collect a lot of signatures, but I don't think we have the time, and we're unable to set up a form anyway, and I think it would really become too much, depending on how many signatures we were to get. So, nevertheless, we've been operating as the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury for quite some time now, filing hundreds of papers into the courts, the Federal District Court particularly, to the United States Supreme Court concerning subversion at the highest levels within our courts, and that they've claimed to have abrogated the common law. It's not possible for them to do it. That was a fraud. It was unlawful, and it was treason. We've done everything we could to try to bring our courts back. We've known from the very beginning that we probably were not going to be able to do that, at least not in the environment that we've been operating in as far as the courts is concerned and the administration and the courts and so on and so forth. But what we have been doing is filing papers anyway because we're building a case. And we have a tremendous amount of evidence to show that there is a conspiracy across this entire nation in every federal district court, all 94 of them, from every judge and every magistrate within the courts operating the same way and covering up our common law courts. So this is I don't want to say it's our final paper. It is kind of a final paper from the standpoint it's going to be a whole new direction after this. Often we're not sure which way we're going to go after one point to another, but something always comes up and we end up focusing in on something that we can continue on. The last paper we filed was a presentment. For those who haven't seen or read that presentment, it's here on our front page at nationallibertyalliance.org, presentment with an order to the United States Supreme Court. Prior to that, we had a tremendous amount of cases, which is underneath the federal court cases over here on the right-hand side of our website. We've also sent an addendum to the grand jury presentment and with a letter to two doorkeepers who rejected our papers. We've sent this out to every single member of the Supreme Court directly through their own districts that they are in responsible for. And then we sent it also directly to the United States Supreme Court, both the presentment and the addendum. And nothing was returned. We're kind of surprised on that. So it's good news. Nothing was returned. This was done at least 8 weeks ago. And now we're at the final point. President Trump is going to be the president of the United States on the 20th. He's going to be inaugurated on the 20th. That gives us, looking at tomorrow, counting from tomorrow, that gives us 6 days. Our anticipation is to get this paper out prior to him actually becoming, the president of the United States, going through that process. Only for the point of him reading it. Of course, we've been copying President Trump for quite some time, also Donald Trump Jr., and about 20 other individuals, plus we've been copying also different JAGs, different for the different services. And it's been pretty good. We've only gotten two sent back, and actually it was sent back by two different individuals, by one of the justices. And that particular one that was sent back, we did resend them, and that was done by the clerk, we presume. I'm sure all the clerks probably went and talked with the judges as far as our paperwork was concerned to see once what they might do with them. And I think they felt that they better not send this one back. I should hope not. But in any event, they didn't, so good news. Usually we get our papers back within a week, but we've been filing it in different various other places anyway. And we also took out an index number in the Northern District here of New York for the sole purpose of having a place to file our paperwork. So they've got it. It's in the courts. Whether they've rejected it directly or not is irrelevant to us at this point. They've rejected everything we the people do. They have destroyed our courts. They've destroyed, matter of fact, it's the lawyers, the bar attorneys, who are the minions of the New World Order. That is exactly who they are, the minions of the New World Order. They have worked tirelessly, mostly in ignorance, but there are people who do understand what they're doing, because some of these people are really true believers. They think we're under civil law. They think that the common law has been abrogated. They don't even understand the common law. They think we were created under the law of Roman law, which brings us to Justinian law, which brings us right over to Babylonian law. The law of the city, the law that enslaves the people. And that's where we're at. We're in a prison. We're in a statutory prison. We've been in one for quite some time. So anyway, let's get to this paper. This is the indictment of the federal judiciary. And we're looking to, I'd like to try to send this out tomorrow, which gives 6 days. They'll get it in 2 or 3 days, let's say, all of them. And again, quite a few people were copying. Let me just mention some of the names here. Of course, I mentioned Donald Trump, President Trump, and Donald Trump Jr. Robert F. Kennedy, Senator Mike Lee, Senator Ted Cruz, Senator John Kennedy, Senator Rand Paul, Senator John Hawley, Congressman Jim Jordan, Congressman Mike Johnson, Congressman Steve Scalise, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor, Congressman Matt Gaetz, which I know he's not a congressman anymore, but Congressman Andy Briggs, Congressman Chip Roy, Congressman Eli Crane, Congressman Corey Mills, Congressman Jim Banks, Donald Trump Jr., I mentioned that, Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Pamela Jo Bondi. Now, this is the first time we're copying Pamela Jo Bondi because we just recently discovered that she was chosen as the Attorney General. So we're probably going to send her a very large package along with the paperwork that we're going to send here anyway. But of all the papers that we've been copying others to try to bring her up to date. And it's going to be pretty much in her hands to really do something with this indictment. An indictment is an indictment. We are the people, we're sovereign people here at National Liberty Alliance. We're over 11,000 of us. We came together for the purpose of dealing with subversion in our courts on the federal district level, particularly with the understanding and the appreciation that if we win the federal courts back, and we don't have no choice, we must win the courts back at all cost. We cannot drop this. We have to continue on until we get them. And I do think we're going to get them, and I think we're going to get them pretty soon. But in any event, once we take the federal courts back, then it's all the other courts in the state, whether they're state courts, county courts, or town courts, village courts, or any other court, it's totally irrelevant. They'll all have to comply at that point because we will pull them into federal court for violating our right of due process and ignoring the law. It's that simple. As long as we can get a federal court that'll do this. We're moving to get rid of every single judge. Also, the bar. Anybody who's a lawyer, a lot of lawyers are trained in due process. They understand how things work, and, they can participate and do what is necessary. The thing that they lack is the lack of an understanding of what a common law is, which is indeed the law of the land. But really, common law is pretty simple. They can come here to get their education if that's what they want. But one way or the other, they're going to have to learn it, because no bar attorney should ever step a foot into any of our courts, nor should any of our courts have a judge or a magistrate that belongs to the bar. Because, again, as I mentioned, they are the minions of the New World Order. And also we have the original 13th Amendment, which forbids them and removes their citizenship if they were to participate and come in and become part of the bar members at the same time acting as an officer of the court. Okay, so let's just read through this. When we get down, well, we'll read through it. And I'll tell you there's certain parts we're not going to read through because it's too lengthy and I don't want to spend that much time. And that was pretty much on the evidence, okay? But this is for an indictment from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. We've organized in every state of the Union. We've constructed, grand juries in every state of the Union. And then we came together to construct one Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury for the purpose of what we're doing. The jurisdiction of our court is a court of record. And we defined it, a court of record. They don't understand what a court of record is. They really don't. They're totally ignorant to that, and they really kept them pretty dumb. I mean, all they do is go into their Black's Law, but they don't do that either. A court of record is a judicial tribunal having attributes and exercising functions independently of the person of the magistrate designated generally to hold it, and proceeding according to the course of the common law. It acts since proceedings being enrolled for a perpetual memorial. Extraordinary indictment, a true bill against the federal judiciary. Comes now the constituted Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, herein after we the people, for an unprecedented indictment against the federal judiciary. We the people are sovereign and do not seek the permission of servants. Therefore, we, the sureties of peace, find it necessary to execute this extraordinary indictment upon and for the removal of all federal judges and magistrates in all 94 federal districts under our own authority that we codified via the Declaration of Independence. We do not take this action lightly. We do so because our courts have become a den of thieves, corrupt to the core and far removed from the people. We the people, via the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, have been providentially entrusted via natural law to dispense justice and were provided legal recourse to address the criminal conduct of the judiciary and our representatives. We the people have the unbridled right by law and in law to impanel our own grand juries and present true bills of information, indictments, and presentments to a court of justice. It is we the jury's duty that if anyone has been dispossessed without the legal judgment of his peers from his lands, homes, franchises, or from his right, we will immediately restore them to him. And if a dispute arises over this, then it will be decided by the 25 jurors of whom mentioned is made below in the clause for securing the peace. Moreover, for all those possessions from which anyone has, without the lawful judgment of his peers, been diseased or removed by our government, we will immediately grant full justice therein. Magna Carta, paragraph 52. We the people have the unbridled right to impanel and preside over our own court proceedings, unfettered by legislation and technical rules. Whereas we the people proceeded under natural law and the rules of natural law as grand and petit jurists, natural law demands that only the people, via free and independent grand juries and petit juries, have the supreme judicial authority to assemble, to indict or not, to decide the law, to sit as the tribunal in all criminal cases, unfettered from judges, and in all cases to nullify any statute, to deny any rule, to judge guilt or innocence, and to pronounce the remedy or punishment, all free from judiciary interference, whose decisions are final and cannot be overturned. By the foundation of American law, also known as the Declaration of Independence, we the people ordained, established, and declared that whenever government becomes destructive to these ends, it is our right to alter it and to institute new servants. Therein is the purpose of this true bill. We the people have suffered a long train of abuses and usurpations by the federal judiciary. It is therefore our right and our duty to indict and remove such tyrants. These tyrants have infiltrated our courts from the very inception of our nation and have labored continually deteriorating our courts of justice, creating chancery courts that is contrary to the law of the land. They have enslaved us in our own courts. To prove this, let facts be submitted to the United States, to these United States. We the people charge all federal judges and magistrates in all 94 federal districts for conspiracy and subversion as follows. For abrogating the law of the land via civil law. For abrogating the rules of common law. For stacking grand juries via intrusive questionnaires. For stacking petit juries via intrusive questionnaires. For wrongful prosecution, abuse of powers, and subversion. For adding to grand jury indictments without our permission. For intimidating people to take a plea. For conspiracy against rights in violation of 18 U.S.C. subsection 241. For deprivations of rights under the color of law in violation of 18 U.S.C. subsection 242. For knowingly and willfully falsifying and concealing material facts and violations of 18 U.S.C. subsection 1001. For deprivation of rights and violations of 42 U.S.C. 1983. For neglect to prevent in violation of 42 U.S.C. 1986. For denying the defendant's rights of habeas corpus. For ignoring and refusing to answer writ quo wantos. For refusing to honor their oaths. For refusing to provide their oaths, for refusing to provide their bonds, for manipulating the juries to achieve a guilty plea, for obstruction of the administration of justice, for refusing to acquiesce to the law of the land, for prosecuting people for pretended offenses, for creating rules that claim to abrogate the laws of nature's God, for trodden upon the rights of the people, for giving themselves special status from national customary law derived by judicial comity, for legislating from the bench, for making it impossible for victims of government wrongdoings to hold the government accountable, for fashioning sweeping doctrines of immunity that insulate themselves and other federal and state officials from being held accountable, for transforming judges into chancellors, dependent upon the will of the bar, resolute on destroying the common law, the foundation of America, and who we are as a people, for closing the doors of justice, for protecting foreign bankers and subjecting the people to jurisdictions unknown, for providing for tax courts that enforce direct taxes, for providing for debtors' prisons, for demanding fees to access our courts, for demanding fees to move our courts, for collecting fines in opposed to restoring the injured party, for denying people's due process via rule, for replacing common law courts with chancery courts, for depriving the people fully informed grand juries, for depriving the people fully informed petit juries, for arrogantly disregarding our Bill of Rights, for abolishing our most valuable laws, altering fundamentally the people's form of government without their consent, for holding mock trials in courts not of record and thereby unlawfully incarcerating and financially fleecing the people, for seizing the people's property via probate courts, for impaneling bogus, puppet, grand, and petty juries in order to perform bar will and profiteering, for assisting bankers in seizing properties in rem, for incarcerating people in debtors' prison under USC 26, which is no law at all, for transforming unalienable rights into crimes, for denying the right of the people to petition the government for a redress of grievances, for denying the right of the people in criminal cases assisting counsel by forcing people to be represented by bar counsels, judges, judged by bar judges, and prosecuted by bar prosecutors, for imposing excessive bails and fines, for closing the doors of justice, for refusing to restore the people's courts of justice, for warring against the Constitution, for warring against we the people, for constantly and consistently denying due process, for denying a republican form of government protected under Article 4, Subsection 4, for denying the people's unalienable right to practice law, for fabricating law by its own decisions to maintain the status quo and pollute our courts of justice, for denying the people's free access into our courts. We, the grand jury, and the people have brought many thousands of cases and various documents before the federal judiciary, and in every case were thrown out of our courts. At every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the humblest terms. We have warned the courts from time to time of attempts to extend unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, but they have turned a deaf ear to the voice of justice and to the voice of the people. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. Servants whose character is thus marked by every act which may define as tyrants are unfit to be servants of a free people. Whereas all federal judges continue in harmony in all 94 federal district courts, closing the doors of justice, thereby denying we the people due process as they subvert the law of the land, which proves conspiracy. We the people codified our unalienable right of sovereignty in the Declaration of Independence when we said, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing inevitably the same object evinces a design to reduce us under absolute despotism, it is our right, it is our duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for our future security. This indictment is a right of we the people to throw off said judicial despots. We, the sureties of the peace, the representatives of the people, appealing to the supreme judge of the world, a just God whose justice will not sleep forever, for a rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these free and independent United States, solemnly publish and declare that we are and of a right ought to have natural law courts, free from foreign influence, free from civil law, free from the British Crown, free from esquires, free from British chancellors, in short, free from tyrants. Traitorous bar judges and esquires have refused to liberate our courts. Therefore, we demand their removal immediately. The evidence. Whereas we, the jury, have found and filed in these federal courts at the district level a myriad of evidence. And we have a duty to restore what cannot be abrogated, that being the natural law in our courts and the natural law constitution for the United States of America. Having filed on 5/15/15 a writ quo warranto against the federal judiciary, being our first paper, fell upon deaf ears and therefore warrants the surrendering of their office. Said filings was followed with numerous documents filed in the United States District Courts for the Northern District of New York, case number 116-CV-1490, and can also be found at nationallibertyalliance.org/action-against-the-judiciary. A partial list of our findings are as follows, supported by 23 memorandums of law and hundreds of documented evidences. The following does not include thousands of cases filed by thousands of people. The following proves a conspiracy in fact by the coordinated, premeditated act by federal justices across America who are determined to end our republic. We filed a mandamus to the clerk for them to acknowledge and obey the law by the filings. Now, I'm not going to read through all of these papers here that we've written, but every single one of these decisions and orders, writ mandamuses, papers on treason, was ignored. Every single paper ignored. Habeas corpus is filed and ignored. These are the habeas corpus we filed. Non-judicial foreclosures, challenged and ignored. Ignored. Other cases, challenged and ignored. Each one of these is a case. indictments for denial of habeas corpus and felony rescue on many federal judges and some state judges, all ignored. Indictments filed on, let's see, indictments filed for denial of due process and felony rescue. Again, a lot of judges, everything ignored. We, the sureties of the peace, by the authority of we, the people themselves, herein demand and order the restructuring of our courts of law as follows. We understand that lawyers trained in equity and law are necessary, but the treasonous barristers, also known as esquires, are trained in Babylonian law, which has been poisoning our courts of law since the colonial days, dating back to 1750. They have been working covertly, destroying our judicial process, equity, and law, and thereby the understanding of our courts, common law spring of justice. All bar lawyers that survive the wrath of justice that is about sweeping through the United States must resign their bar membership to practice law in our courts and learn with an open mind the common law and its common law rules, being the remedy necessary to counter the venom they have been subjected to. A proper education can be found at nationallibertyalliance.org/court-access-common-law-course. The United States Supreme Court is to acknowledge that it is primarily an equity court, and its only authority in courts of law is to protect the peoples against violations arising under the Constitution. Whereas the we, the people, vested the Supreme Court in all cases in equity arising under the Constitution, the laws of the United States and treaties made or which shall be made under their authority, to all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, to all cases of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction, to controversies to which the United States shall be a party to, controversies between two or more states under Article 3, Section 2. The U.S. Supreme Court is not to trespass upon the King's Court, that being Jesus Christ, by ruling on common law issues such as abortion, religious practices, etc. We the people herein demand that the concealed original 13th Amendment that prevented barristers titled esquires from holding an office of trust and thereby unable to practice their abominable civil law in our courts of law to be acknowledged in our courts. We the people herein demand that all judges and lawyers must be severed from the bar to practice law in the people's courts. We the people herein demand that only common law, also known as the law of the land, to be practiced in all our courts, and offer a clarification between law and equity, whereas equity courts are for fictions, such as government agencies, agents, and commercial activities, and common law is for the people, by the people. We the people herein demand that only the rules of common law, as it was before 1938, are to govern both equity and law courts. We the people herein demand that the people have the right of free access to the courts of law. Court fees are for fictions. We the people herein demand that only fully informed common law grand juries are lawful, and the common law grand jury handbook is to be distributed to jurists found at nationallibertyalliance.org. We the people herein demand that only fully informed common law pettijuries are lawful, and that the common law grand jury handbook is to be distributed to just jurists found at nationallibertyalliance.org. We the people herein demand that the orientation of the jury must be by the people via jury administrators and not barrister lawyers. We the people herein demand that the practice of law is an unalienable right, and that indeed no more than an affidavit are necessary to make a prima facie case. We the people herein demand that only the sheriffs and coroners have the authority to call for and bring a case before the grand jury, whereas prosecutors can bring their cases to the sheriff, whose decision it is to bring a case before a grand jury or not. We the people herein nullify the 16th Amendment because it prohibited by Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4, and it defrauds and enslaves the people. We the people herein nullify the 17th Amendment because it is forbidden by Article 5. It destroys the balance of power and deprives states equal suffrage. We the people herein nullify the Organic Act of 1871 because it created the United States, Inc., that subverted the United States of America, thereby being an act of treason by the 42nd Congress and the traitorous American Bar Association. We the people herein nullify the Rules Enabling Act of 1934 and its 1938 Federal Rules of Civil Procedure because it subverts the common law and the rules of common law. We the people herein nullify Ingalls versus Vitale because it violates the First Amendment and denies the knowledge of our King, Jesus Christ, of our common law courts to our children, the future sureties of the peace. We the people herein nullify national customary law derived by judicial comity because a thing similar is not necessarily the same thing, and trial court decisions are self-serving and has nothing to do with the law. We the people herein nullify the so-called Article 1 courts, whereas Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9 vested Congress with the powers to constitute the tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court, as defined in Article 3. There is no such thing as an Article 1 court. As is the process in a court, the law judges have no authority. We the people herein nullify the Federal Reserve Act because it is repugnant to the Constitution. We the people herein nullify the Patriot Act. A true bill so ordered, sealed, New York, Rochester County, January 15th, 2025, signed by the jury foreman. Okay, that brings us to the end of that. So we got the queue open, by the way. So if anybody wants to get into the queue, it's a *6 and a 1 if you're on a phone, or there should be a button to enter into the queue if you're on an app or the browser. So we'll take questions. Before we do that, I don't know if any of the leadership here has any statements or anything they'd like to say before we go into questions, or maybe they have some questions themselves.
I'm good, John. Thanks for asking. I'd be interested what Pam Bondi might do. I mean, these people are all, or many of them, are bar trained attorneys. It'll be interesting to see what they might do. I yield.
Right. Well, they can't deny what we've said in here, the accusations.
No, they cannot. They cannot justifiably deny any of the accusations. That's correct. Let's see what they do.
Right. And by the way, let me make a final thing here. I want to get these papers out tomorrow, and we can really use some extra money at this point to get this paper. There's a lot of paperwork to get together, and a lot of mailing to be done, and get this out to all the proper individuals. There are 22 people who are going to be copying on this. So if anybody can help out, I know most of the people that come regularly are supporters of National Liberty Alliance. But even asking those people if they can send an extra $5 or $20 or whatever, it really will be appreciated. You know, occasionally we do get some help from, there's a few people that really give a lot. And, we have one individual who's given us occasionally $1,000 or $1,500, and that has been really, really very helpful. We also had some people that from time to time maybe give us $500 or $100. And recently when we asked for some help, we had a few of those people do that. But most people give $5, $10, or $20, sometimes $50. But whatever you can afford to help get this paperwork out would really be appreciated. So. And, again, I'm going to try to get this out tomorrow, worst case the following day, because we only got 6 days to get it in before the inauguration. Okay, with that, we're going to take our first caller. Again, let me repeat, if you're on a phone, *6 and a 1 to get into the queue on a phone. If you come in on an app or a browser, it should be a button to enter the queue. Okay, well, first person, it looks like someone named Troy, maybe. What's your first name and your state?
My name is Elizabeth, and my state is Ohio.
Okay, Elizabeth from Ohio.
I'm calling because my question is, wouldn't it be advantageous for Trump to make your make this come to fruition, the whole process of getting rid of all of the courts because of what they've done to him? Was totally illegal.
Well, you know, I wouldn't want to see him to do it because of vengeance or for that purpose, but he should do it because it's the right thing to do. And in order to save America, you got to save our courts. America will be only as just as our courts are. We'll be as just to other nations as our courts are. And our courts are courts of record. It's under the common law. The king of the court is Jesus Christ, and we're under his moral teachings. So therefore, America is not America, because that's who we are as a people. We are a Christian nation. And I've written a long paper on this one, plenty of proof that what we are as a people. But anyway, unless we get our courts back, you know, we have nothing, because we remain prisoners to the court system. We can't get justice. Nothing we do. We're abused by the government constantly. We can't go in and get justice. We should be able to go in and get justice in our courts. These judges don't belong inside a court of law. A lot of people don't realize this. A court of law is run by the people themselves. There's a magistrate in there who is that individual is the only act as a sort of a traffic cop, keep things flowing and keep things moving in order. And then at the end of the end of the day, when the final decisions are made that he has nothing to do with, then he is to certify it, seal it, pass it to the sheriff for execution, the will of the jury. And that's his job and his only job. It's not his job to deny evidence or to get involved in the case in any way or to make any decisions. None at all. Now, people don't realize that. This is the people's court. 12 people, 12 individuals decide. They decide innocent or guilt. They decide whatever, if there's law involved. You know, sometimes there are statutes involved in a court. You know, if an individual is accused of a crime, for instance, and they're working for the government, or they are, you know, as an agent or something, or they are working in commercial activity, which falls under this, then they're operating under regulations, they're operating under statutes and codes. There's 57 codes altogether, and each one of these codes have a focus on specific you know, things as far as government operations or commercial activities. So if an individual working in that area was to be indicted for a crime, then they move out, because all of the decisions work on that in equity courts. But once it becomes a crime, it has to move into a court of law. And then the people decide. And they decide whether they like the regulation or not, the law or not, whatever it is that they're applying against them. They got total control. And they also, of course, decide what the penalty is, you know, and with an eye on restitution of the injured party. You know, these courts that have been operating, you know, they'd hit these people sometimes with all these. Just think of what they hit Trump with the fines. Where did that money go to? Where did they expect to put that? If they claim that there is people that have been injured, why haven't they gotten that money? And our courts have been operating like this for a long time, and we the people have been so ignorant and dumb at this whole thing, we've let them get away with it. It's time to step up. And I want to ask everybody who's listening in, everybody who's hearing this, to get this out. Get this message out. Get this paper out. Again, you can find a copy of this paper on our front page. Let me go over to our front page here. Right here, you can get the papers. You can download these papers. You can download the indictment. You can download the presentment. And you can download the addendum to the presentment. And if anybody wants to listen in on this, again, we are recording this, and we do post this up under an MP3 under the which is up here under the Monday call, or you can go to today's issues and come to our NLA Monday Open Forum videos, and you can you know, watch the video of tonight's program. We put all of our meetings up here on this page, and we put them up on Rumble, we put them up on YouTube, and of course we also put them up on our website. So the big thing is this: people need to get this message out to as many people as possible, to get this paper. We've got lots of papers, you know, and we've got a lot of education for those who aren't regulars or coming, you know, to our meetings here. We've got a lot of education here, and we also have a teach people how to enter the courts, how due process works, how the court system works, and how to use the common law in the court, and understanding, you know, of course, how we can use the codes in the court, because we can use the codes, we can use the statutes to hold them liable, because it is written for them, and that's a power the people have, and a lot of people don't realize this, so. But anyway, you know, we have all these courses that people can take. We have foundation study, constitutional course. A lot of these courses are free, okay? We have a couple of courses. We ask people to be $5 a month or more, which is a premium member, to get into the couple other courses. But we will let anyone in for free if they can't afford that $5. You know, the economy is so bad these days that some people really can't afford that $5. And we understand. We appreciate that. And our biggest course here, ultimately, is court access in the common law. So that teaches you how to get, and that's the only course we really charge for. And it's pretty cheap. It's only $125, but it's a 90-hour course that covers a lot. So let's get this message out for people to get educated. Let's get this message out for people to read this indictment and get behind this indictment and support what we're doing. We need the people's support, you know. An island can't do it. No one man can do it. No small group of people can do it. We do have quite a few memberships, so, you know, we have a lot of clout because we have people that are members in every state of this union. So. But anyway, back to you.
Well, I thank you. And it just seems it's a daunting task.
Well, look, at you know, anything that's daunting, anything that's complex is just made up a lot of little things and putting a little bit of time here and a little bit of time there. Many hands make light work, you know, so no one person can do this. You know, we need lots of people to do this. But the big thing is this. Right now, the people should be getting the word out. Get this message out. Get this indictment out. Get it in before the people. Try to get it into the conversations out there on Facebook or wherever it is that people might go to communicate with others and have conversation. But the more awareness we can get of what's going on and the violations, which is a myriad here, I mean, this list goes on and on, and we still haven't covered everything. There's a lot more we could probably say, but this is the major part of the problems in the courts, and they need to fix them. And we're not America if we don't get them fixed. America's lost if we don't get it fixed. We're done. Okay, if you have anything else, pipe in now, or we're going to move to the next caller.
Okay, no, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to the next caller. Isulu from... I think it's Montana, isn't it? M-O. Let me take a quick look. M-O. Nope, it's Missouri.
Hi, John.
How you doing, Sulu?
Oh, well, we want to thank you for your hard work and all the things that you've done. And but I was just want to ask a question because I heard that we were supposed to be voting for the documents that you just read today.
Well, what we were doing... We were looking for signatures, but we decided that we're not going to do that because it's going to take too long to collect signatures to add to this. We've met quite some time ago as a grand jury and made certain decisions concerning indictments, concerning certain things. And, you know, habeas corpuses and all the work we've done that the grand jury has done over the years. So we've already done that as far as the approval through a grand jury, where quite a few people did show up. I wanted to get some signatures. But signatures may also add, you know, if we were to get lots of signatures, and I had no idea how many signatures we could get. But
okay.
If we weren't able to get a form up. I don't have the ability to put it together, a form that will pull these signatures together. And one of our individuals that work with us, Terry, who does a lot of our technical stuff, you know, she was trying to figure some things out, but she hadn't had time. But in any event, we're going in without the signatures. And again, if we were to get lots of signatures, that would have made the papers thicker and thicker and thicker, more weight and more cost to get it out. And funding is, we don't have much funding. So we really need some help at least to get these papers out. So anybody that could do anything for that, they can go here to a donation tab on the top right-hand side of a website. If you just click on that, there's numerous ways that you can help us and give us a few dollars. So however you can do it, appreciate it. But
okay,
anyway.
Definitely. And how do you want those signature? You want us to take that form and
well, no, we're not gonna, we decided not to do signatures. Okay, we've already established that we have a membership of over 11,000 people. Okay, and we have worked diligently many years ago to work through the entire United States, and we've laid all this information out. They have this information, and we also placed it numerous times into our paperwork, and we replaced it into the presentment we gave them, which is one paper away from what we're doing now, which is an indictment. But we placed that information into that information on the presentment. And what we did is that we went to every state of the union, and every state came together, you know, and decided that they were going to build a grand jury, they got a seal and an address and an agreement to do that grand jury for, and they came together as a state. We went to every county, did a lot of counties together, you know, two or three counties at a time sometimes. But in any event, we went through most of the, and there were some counties outside, of course, where nobody lives, like up in Alaska, you know, we didn't go to. But in any event, we went to these counties, and the people in the counties came together and created a state, unified state common law grand jury, and all the states came together and created a unified United States common law grand jury. And this took a lot of years to do. We started this process, I think it was 2013 or 2014 when we started this. And it took a couple of years to get that done, or at least a year, I don't remember. It took a while. But we have established that. They know that. You know, we're just not a couple of people in some corner here in New York. No, we're nationwide, and a lot of people were involved in this process. So, I was going to try to collect signatures. I was kind of hoping maybe we can get the word out. But time is a problem, number one. Form is a problem, number two. And more paperwork, making more weight for the mailing becomes another problem. So we're just going to focus on signatures.
So how do you collect those signatures?
We're not collecting signatures. We're not going to do that. So we're mailing it out as it is, under seal, for the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. But what we do want people to do is get this information out. You know, send people to tonight's program to watch the program. Again, you can send them to National Liberty Alliance, come to today's issues, and come down to NLA Monday Open Forum videos, okay, which you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/NLA-Monday-Night-Open-Forum. But anyway, the easiest way is to come under today's issues and click on. So send people to that page so that they can watch tonight's program, hear the paper being read, and they can go to our front page and download the paper themselves and share it any way they want. But just getting it out is the key. That's what we want to do. Okay?
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Okay. Thank you, Sula. Okay, let's take our next caller. Again, anybody else wants to get into the queue, it's a *6-1 if you're on a phone, and there should be a button for entering in on the app or browser. Okay, it looks like John, maybe, 918 area code, you got the mic. What's your first name and your state?
John and Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, John. Okay, you got the mic.
All right. First of all, I believe you're correct in that you started out with these charges in 2013.
Yeah, somewhere around.
Because I've been involved with it as I could since then, I do remember you posting and putting all of that together. How long has it taken you to get this particular documentation put together in order that you can get it out, get it sent in?
Maybe you can clarify that. Say that. What's the question again?
Okay. I was trying to find out how long you have been working on putting these charges together so that you could file them.
Oh, yeah. Well, for years we've been doing it. We've been building cases under the federal court. You can find this under federal court cases. We've been building a case against an action against the judiciary for years. And if you go up here, you can actually read all the papers that we have filed. You can come up here and click on any one of these papers. We started filing some of these papers. The very first paper, which was the writ quo warranto, was actually filed on in 2015. Okay, and then we filed a lot of other papers after that. We filed a lot of move for cause cases to the federal courts. They denied to hear all of them. We filed many memorandums, habeas corpuses. Again, you can read all the stuff that we have in the case that I listed on that paper for the indictment. You can find the actual documents on this page right here, and you can read through them. So,
okay, that's on
these are all cases that we filed and information.
Okay, that's on the NLA homepage, right?
Yeah. If you come to nationalliberty.org, come to federal court cases on the top right side on the bar, the blue bar, then you come down to action against the judiciary, and you'll come to this page right here.
Okay, thank you very much for that. I'll download that and try to get it to as many people as I can.
Yeah, the key thing that you want to download and get to the people is found on the front page, okay? The most important one is the one we're filing today, which is the indictment, the federal judiciary. You click that, and you'll get a PDF copy. You can print or email, whatever you want to do with it. But there's also two other very important papers. We filed a presentment with an order to the United States Supreme Court. That was a 128-page paper, and it was filed and served on 10/11/24. And then we did an update to addendum to the grand jury presentment. I don't remember what the date was on that. Let me see if we have it down the bottom. We just added a little bit of information. Let's come down. Okay. Okay, we did a cover sheet on this. I guess I didn't put the cover sheet on here and with the date. So, but in any event, this was filed a couple of weeks later. It was an addendum. Then of course, the one we were filing tomorrow, hopefully, or the next day, is the indictment, the federal judiciary, and that's the paper we just read. So those are the most important ones.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, John. Okay. Yeah. We'll go to the next caller here. It looks like Michael. You got the mic. What's your state? Is that your first name?
I am Michael Larson. I'm from Seattle, Washington.
Okay. Michael from Washington. You got the mic.
I'm wanting to know how I can contact not the Committee of Safety, but a grand jury to get something going here against a judge in Seattle.
Well, you know, we can maybe assist you with that in the very near future. We first have to get our federal courts back. As you see, all the cases we have filed and all the cases they have ignored, they're not dealing with habeas corpus. They're not dealing with indictments. They're ignoring it all. You know, even the prosecutor, not the prosecutor, but the attorney generals are not doing their job, and they're not enforcing this. Now, on this side of things, because of the way things have been going the last 4 years, I can understand why, if there are any good people in there, it's hard for them to do anything, because they're not going to get anything through. But there's a new sheriff in town. I do believe that many of our congressmen and senators are going to end up in jail. A lot of Democrats, and I believe some Republicans too, both sides of the aisle, and on both Congress and the Senate. And there's a lot of people, you know, I forget how many indictments are out there. There's quite a few indictments out there. But we're going to see what's happening. I know Trump mentioned he's going to fire all the prosecutors, federal prosecutors, so they'll have to be reappointed, rebrought in. And we're trying to push them to do the same thing with the judges. They got to go. They're criminals. They cannot continue. They've destroyed too many people's lives. They're not trustworthy.
Okay, well, apparently you have established a grand jury on a nationwide level there.
Right.
But is there any grand jury set up for states?
Well, not yet. We're trying to do that, but we can't do it yet. First of all, it's a wrongdoing if people operate as a grand jury, if they don't come in with a certain amount of knowledge and also with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. It has to be kind of drilled into their minds. They're not here for vengeance. We're here for justice. And sometimes the olive branch is necessary, and they have to be able to consider that. They have to consider mercy at the end of the day. And we're training people for that. We have a course we put together. We're going to write a handbook. We're trying to establish administrators for the grand jury in every county. Okay, and that's a paid job because right now the bar lawyers handle that. We need to take it away from that and give it to the people directly. So regular people, we need to educate them, and we need to get four administrators plus a paralegal administrator in every county. It's five people. In some counties, there may be required more than that because, like New York City counties, they're large, they're going to need more than that. But generally, you have to have a minimum of five no matter what, and most counties should be able to do business with their five individuals. And what they do, the administrators really are the backbone of really the power and the authority of the grand jury. They will orientate them. Give them a handbook to let them know the power and authorities that they have. So they'll give a one-day orientation, which will help to make them free and independent juries and understand the common law and the job before them. That could be done in 8 hours easily. And then a handbook with that also. They also will clear the way for investigations that a grand jury might want to go into. And these grand juries need to be chosen, from the people in the area that they live in, the county that they live in, and they shouldn't have to take a seat for too long a time. You know, maybe you'll get a grand jury in a small county or a county where there's not a lot of activity going on, maybe, and they might be sit as a grand jury for 6 months, but maybe only come in once a month or once a week. I don't know. The more you get a grand jury that's got to come in every day because there's a lot of activity going on in that particular, a lot of high population, then maybe they shouldn't be required to, especially if they're going to have to come every day, then they shouldn't have to be there any more than a week or two. And there should be numerous grand juries operating at that point in time. Because we can't take people and ask them to come in and for a long period of time and give up their job and income, that could be problematic. And also, when a grand jury comes together and even a trial jury, they do get money for this, but it's nothing. It's ridiculous the amount of money that they would give these people that are coming in to sit on a jury, whether it's grand or petit. So we got to work all that out. And that's what we're trying to develop across America, and people need to become educated to be doing that. We will give them the certification once they get through all the courses in order to become a jury administrator. Now, as far as what we're doing right now, our only purpose is to deal with subversion by enemies domestic, people within our government particularly, and that's the only thing that we've come to do. And we did pick up to assist people for numerous reasons. Number one, compassion to help people to try to get them habeas corpuses or try to save their houses from these illegal foreclosures. They're called non-judicial foreclosures. It doesn't matter whether it's a tax foreclosure or mortgage foreclosure. In both cases, they're unlawful. That's why they do non-judicial. They make it look like it went through the courts, but it really didn't. And so they make it to create this facade, But we were working to help people. It was two reasons to do it. Number one, to help people, but also to build a case against the judiciary. We wanted to show that they were rejecting habeas corpuses, and it didn't matter whether the court was it was a federal court in New York or in Washington or Virginia or Texas. It does. They're all doing the same thing. They all reject. They all deny. They throw our papers out. So they denied habeas corpus. They denied the people coming in because they were denied due process. So, and the federal courts denied due process too. We took in these non-judicial foreclosures into the federal courts. Now, we were able to do those type of cases because it was easy to write a generic paper that pretty well fits all, and we created a system that all we had to do was put in the specifics of a case, the name, address, the court name, and so on and so forth. And we did create some forms for that. We had someone help us put some forms together on that. So it was pretty simple, and we had a few people working on that. But we're not doing that anymore because there's just way too much work and we don't have enough volunteers. And again, the sole purpose of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury is to deal with enemies domestic. And we needed that evidence in the court. And that's what a lot of these cases are. But we also have, of course, a lot of papers. We had mandamuses, we had writ quo warrantos, we had lots of different other papers, memorandums of law, laying out the true law and the violation that they were doing in opposed to that true law. So, but again, hopefully soon we're going to get our courts back, and we'll see once where that goes.
Okay, now another quick question. But on all of the documents that have been signed regarding the grand jury, you've all got the exact same signature, the same squiggle, but there's no name attached to it. Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, because they become a target.
So they remain anonymous then?
They have to. And any grand jury is anonymous. The only ones that know who their grand jury foreman is and the individuals, unless they reveal it themselves, the only ones that would know would be the judge and maybe one or two other people in the court. That would be it. But those are the people that are the enemy, and they're the people that are vicious and will come out. I don't think that person would last very long if they knew who they were.
Awesome. I didn't think of that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Next caller. Ross, you got the mic. Go right ahead, Ross.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good, thank you. And yourself?
Good. How do we fix the land situation for the western states?
Which problem with the land? There's so many problems.
The land that belongs to the United States, the federal government shouldn't even own any land or any recreational land to be protected for the people.
There is a lot of land that's kind of handled by the government for the sole purpose of giving to ranches, for instance, for cattle and all kinds of different things for different livestock. And they lease it out, that land, and they get water rights and so on and so forth. But all of that's been abused. They've been shutting those people down and trying to get rid of a lot of those peoples. We saw what happened with the Hammonds and numerous other people we wrote papers concerning their problem out there out west. But it is true. Look, the federal government should not be owning all this land within states. That land within the states should be run by the states. Okay, and some land is just for people to come and enjoy the land. That's one thing, and the state should benefit from the income coming in, which is the people themselves in that state should benefit from that. Then yes. There's also lots of other land that again is out there for the purpose again for raising livestock. Again, cattle particularly is a big thing. Okay, so again, that all should be run by the states where the land is in, and not
yes. Like in Oregon, the federal government owns 50% of land in the state of Oregon.
Yeah, I heard that, and there's a lot of other states. Some of them are even worse. They own even a lot more. Again. The people aren't paying attention because, first of all, they've been shut out. Nothing's reported in the news, so we're not getting the information on what's going on, number one. Number two, we've been trained to be as ignorant as possible so that we can be enslaved and live under these, statutory prisons. Okay? People don't know how to handle their own court cases, and they should. should be able to take care of your own legal business. You shouldn't have to go to a lawyer to deal with that. But, you know, again, they don't teach anybody in school. They don't teach us the civics. They don't teach us the common law. They don't teach us the Constitution. They don't teach us who we are as a people, that we're a Christian nation. They've ripped the Bible out of school in the early 60s. I think it was 1963. We mentioned that case in the paperwork. So they've ripped they've destroyed our nation. They've totally destroyed our nation and bankrupt us. And this could not have been done. It would be an impossibility to do all this damage without the bar. They are the minions of the New World Order. They control everything. They got their hands in everything. Now, again, a lot of these lawyers are ignorant to this, you know. First of all, they're damaged from, you know, as far as really their understanding of things. We're all damaged in our lower schools, you know, going into first, 12 years of school. And then you're still young, and then you go into college, and you get indoctrinated in all of their BS. They teach you that this is civil law, and they were under Roman law, which again brings us right back. You can lead it right back to Babylonian law, the law of the city, to enslave the people, to fleece them on a daily basis, and that's what they're doing. It's what all these these lower courts do. You know, the town courts, the village courts. They're all fleecing the people all day long, making money, 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 and. So we're in a statutory prison, but we have to get rid of this. We have to dismantle it. And look at Thomas Jefferson, and I say this all the time. Thomas Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never is going to be. It's not going to happen. So people need to be re-educated. We need to take. I'm glad that Trump sent our education back to the states. We try to teach people to build their committees of safety, to take control of the school boards. We teach people on how to remove an entire board. You can remove the whole board in one hearing. You can come and have them all legally removed with a writ quo warranto. Easily done. 3 to 10 days, and they're out of there. Okay? And then you can fill the seats temporarily, and then when the next election comes around to elect these people, you know, we can then require them to do the will of the people. Okay, we need our children to learn civics, the Constitution. We need our children to learn morals, morality. We need our children to learn, of course, all the basics. But they need, by the time a child gets out of high school, they should understand due process and how the court system works and be able to write their own papers and enter a court. They shouldn't have to require themselves to have to go out and pay a huge amount of money for lawyers to begin with. And lawyers never explain what they're really doing in the courts, and they're just fleecing the people, too. They just try to keep the court case going as long as possible, make as much money as possible. It's the good old boys' club, and... But if people are going to remain ignorant, it's going to continue. You'll continue to get fleeced, and we'll continue to lose our justice courts, and we'll just continue to deteriorate until we are no more, because that's where we're heading.
John?
Yeah.
His Arca Falls, I forgot exactly what clause it was, but Congress is the only one who can dispose of the land the federal government holds to give
right.
it back.
Well, once the land that the United States is holding, okay, we have for instance. We have lots of property where people live, and when there's a certain amount of people in a certain area, they can take a vote to become a state, and the state should do this. Puerto Rico should have become a state a long time ago, you know. And we have a lot of land where people would love to become a state and establish a state, but they're not doing it no more. They freeze from doing it. We shouldn't be holding this property. We should be using this property and create states out of them and let the people have self-rule as a state and join the union. But You know, and again, we have that opportunity. I think it's going to happen with Trump. He's moving back to the Constitution. I just hope he understands enough about the law and what's going on. He's surrounded still by lawyers, but he does have a lot of people that he's working with that aren't lawyers either. So they're getting our papers. And those are the people, I think, that hopefully will become the movers and the shakers of this movement of the people to take our courts back. Because they're a lot... I've noticed that people who are not lawyers understand common law very quickly and understand the unalienable rights of the people very quickly than a lawyer does. Because the lawyers, their minds have been so, built with so much BS and all this false stuff. And they become true believers. You know, I can't tell you how many lawyers will argue with me. We're under Rome. They cannot get it through their brains what law is. All they have to do is go into the dictionary. L-A-W in the Constitution. That's what we have. We have law and equity. Go into Bouvier's. Go into Black's Law. Look it up, and you find out it's that system that proceeds according to the common law. That's what law is. Law, in law, at law, or law. All means the same thing. Law that proceeds according to the common law, which is natural law.
Yeah, I asked the writing for OpenAI. They said you have to present a plan to management plan to the federal government before they will dispose of it. I think that's wrong.
Yeah, I didn't understand what you said. What was wrong again? Make that one point. It was wrong.
Oh, I was saying to become a state, planned state.
Yeah.
They want you to present Congress wants you to present a land management plan before they dispose of the land.
Well, I'd have to look into that and think about that before I would agree or disagree with that. But it sounds like it might make some sense that they come up with some plan. But maybe not. Maybe not. Look, all it takes is for the people to vote. Then it's up to help them structure the state. You know, the United States is help structure a state. So, but
means like when we joined the union, Ogden joined the union in 1965, people didn't stand up against the federal government to protect the land in Oregon. The federal government just took it from the citizen of Oregon way before we become a state.
No, I understand that, and that's a crime in my opinion, and they shouldn't have done that, and it needs to be returned back to the state so the people control over that. That's what needs to be done. Once a state is formed, they're free and independent states. You know, they do what, just like any other state, free and independent states. And but the only thing they're agreeing to is the federal agreement. You know, the agreement at which is the Constitution. Okay, that's what they're agreeing to. So they, you know, to accept the law of the land, which again is equity and law, which is common law. So these certain things.
Yes, the problem, like when I talked to my brother about this, he said people don't really care because it doesn't directly affect them.
Because we're ignorant. Let me tell you, if
we
train our children how they should walk when they're older, they will not depart from that walking, okay? And that's the business. Look, parents should be doing that to begin with. Okay, but nevertheless, we should have our schools structured in a way that raises our children up with a certain understanding to teach them how to be a good citizen, how they need to give back because we're the land of the free, okay? And they need to be able to give back. You know, everyone should consider joining the service for a period of time. You can't require that, but people should consider it. We should train our children to consider that. Everybody should go and belong to the committees of safety. Okay, everybody should respond to the call when there's a call to participate in the jury, whether grand or petit. everybody, we should be teaching our children that. We should be teaching our children how the court system works, what civics is, who we are as a people, that we're a Christian nation built upon Christian values, and that we are a moral people, and that the king of the court is Jesus Christ. The law, common law, is the Bible. Okay, that's what common law is. It's who we've been for a long time. We need to get back to the basics. And you don't have to be a Christian to participate. Our founding fathers never required anyone to pass some kind of a test in order to participate. You agree to the rules, you agree to the law, and you honor an oath, and it's that simple. We have to train our children in these things. And if you train them properly, when they get older, they're going to walk in what you trained them in. Matter of fact, God promises that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ross. Appreciate the call. Okay, we're going to take our next caller, LGA. I'm not sure what that is. Maybe you can give us your first name and your state. Mr. L.
Hi, this is L. L from Georgia, Augusta, Georgia.
You got the mic. Go right up. L from Georgia.
Well, my question is, I ordered the book for the court access, and that was like last month, around the 30th. So I'm just wondering when the process.
You ordered through Amazon, no?
Yes.
Yeah, you'd have to go to them. I don't know. You should have gotten it by now. I think the longest it takes, sometimes, they print out so many books, and then before they print any more, they try to figure out how many is going to go through the system per month. But you may just get hit in the wrong time. But you should call Amazon up and ask them.
Okay.
Yeah, John, I second that real fast. I ordered a couple. I ordered one. It got to me for myself within, I think, 3 or 4 days. And then I ordered another one, speaking of Puerto Rico, had it sent to Puerto Rico, and the lady in Puerto Rico got it within, I think, 5 or 6 days at the most. So he should have it by now, and I yield.
Well, Amazon's phone number, I think, is hard to get. If you want it, I'll give it to you right now. It's 888-280-4331. I'll repeat that. It's 888-280-4331. Mm-hmm. 4331. And I think I have a second number here that's not an 800 number. It's 206-922-0880. So, sometimes I have to call Amazon, and I don't like to go through the email and all that stuff or try to do text, because you don't even know if you're talking to a person at that point,
Right.
But anyway, give them a call.
Okay, I will.
Do you have any other questions or comments or corrections to offer here?
Oh, no. That'll be good for me.
Okay, thank you.
That's what I want you to know.
All right. Appreciate the call. Okay, we'll take our next caller. It is a wireless caller from 845 area code. You got the mic, first name, and the state. Well, looks like New York.
Yeah, John, this is Quinn from the law group in Dutchess County.
Yeah, hey, Quinn.
Hey, how are you? Listen, I'm willing to help you out with filing the papers. I just need to know where I need to donate it at.
Oh, well, our donation tab, let's see, is on nationallibertyalliance.org. And if you go to the top right side of our website here, you'll see Donate Now. And you can donate whatever you want, $5, $10, $100, whatever you can afford. Be appreciated.
Okay, not a problem. And my last question is at some point, will you get a docket on that, and will you be able to reference that?
What, the paper we filed, we're filing?
Yes.
Well, we sent it directly to the United States Supreme Court. And again, I mentioned earlier that they have not returned our papers from the original, as far as the presentment. From the presentment on, they have not been returning our papers anymore. And the presentment was sent about eight weeks ago now. I think it was, October, November. I think it was November 20th or October 20th. Matter of fact, let's take a real quick look. Let me get to the welcome page, because you can see the date on there. Okay, the presentment, well, let me go back here a minute, because it said right there, it was 10/11/24, and then send out another paper maybe a couple of weeks after that, and then we're sending this one out. They have not returned it, because usually they return it. They try to tell us to give them money or to do something stupid, you know?
Okay, so does that mean it's on the docket, or you don't know?
Oh, well, I don't know. We don't have a docket number for that, but we have been following up on our federal court case on the dockets up there. Let's see, the grand jury docketed. Let's see if what that is. I forget what that is. Let's see. Okay, yeah. There's a numbers in here that
okay.
You can go to this paper, the mandamus, and you'll find numbers, you know, the case number. We've been filing everything up in the Northern District, sort of a depository of all our papers. Not that we're expecting anything to happen there, but just we only pulled an index number. We didn't even pull an RJI because we don't want, you know, judicial interference, you know. So, but they've been burying our paper. People have gone up there to look and not.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Find it, you know.
But you said that at some point there will be a copy on the website, correct?
Well, we have copies right now. All these, they're up here.
Sweet. Okay.
Back here, front page, welcome. Okay.
Okay.
Presentment order that was sent a while ago, a letter to two doorkeepers. The addendum to the grand jury presentment was sent a couple of weeks after 10.
That's 10 fantastic. 11.
And then the one we're sending now is the indictment for the federal judiciary. Click the button. You can download it and print it or whatever you want to do with it. But everybody needs to get this out, you know.
Okay.
Out on Facebook or wherever people talk. Let's get it out. You know, it'll be out on YouTube. It'll be up on, you can send them to Rumble. Send them to our page, which is a Rumble. You know, they were really pulling our videos off of Rumble. So if you went to today's issues, NLA's Monday open forum videos, it'll be posted here tonight. It usually gets up and done and able to be watched by about 11:30 p.m. So by 11:30 p.m. tonight, it'll be on this page. So people can be sent here to watch tonight's video on this indictment.
Okay. All right. Sounds fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll take our next caller. John, you got the mic. Mr. John, how you doing?
Good. Just the elephant in the room. They've ignored everything you've done so far. They haven't sent the papers back, but what's the enforcement on this thing? I mean, is there a local sheriff in each one of the districts? Or is it federal? Is it U.S. Marshals? Is it the military? Do you have any idea? How are we going to enforce this?
Well, we have sent everything to the military. I'll probably send a copy to the military here again. We sent it to five of them. But right now, we've been communicating all these things now with Trump directly and with 20 or 21 other individuals that are working with his administration, that are becoming part of his administration, some senators, some congressmen, but again, a lot of his individuals that are in his, that's working with him, his administration. We're kind of pushing for them to do something, particularly Trump. He talked about cleaning house on the prosecutors on the federal level. Well, let's clean house. We're giving them the opportunity and the paper that we the people put together, clearly laid out a proper indictment against these SOBs. So we're trying to get him to help push this. That was our intention. We've been trying to educate these individuals for quite some time now. So we've been sending them papers, more than just these papers. We've been sending them other papers, papers of education.
Well, yeah, I understand that. You're sending the Supreme Court. We're going to fight the Supreme Court too, or just all the lower courts?
Well, I'm not filing anything. This is an indictment. We're not filing it to the Supreme Court. We filed the presentment to the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court. No, we're only dealing. Look, our focus is to the United States Supreme Court to do the right thing, to bring the federal judiciary back under the law, and to exercise their authority over them. You know, we have one United States Supreme Court. And the rest of them, you know, are created that's inferior to them. and they're supposed to be the final word. And they should have and could have corrected these problems. Now, I understand they got a gun to the head. Things are going to change after the 20th, so maybe they're going to do something. There's going to be a lot of military movement to make the arrest. I forget how many thousands of indictments are out there for people that for subversion.
Something like 300,000, I think. There's more than that. A lot of
number, yeah. So this is, you know, that's going to be moving on it. And we've been trying to educate all these people, the armed forces, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, and even the Space Force, okay? We've been educating them because it is their duty to also, you know, to protect this nation. And it's the duty of Trump to protect this nation. So we're trying to get knowledge out to all the right people, all the information, all the knowledge to all the right people, so that, you know, it only takes one. Look at just one person in his administration. Okay, all it takes is one of them to have this, you know, one moment, an epiphany, to understand common law, to understand who we are as a people. One person to have that epiphany, because if that one person has an epiphany because they got power and they're in the game and they're rubbing shoulders with all the right people, they will dog the other people concerning this problem if one person understands it. And there are a few people that are not lawyers, and those are the people that would be most likely. But on the other end, you know, we have highly educated people up there that are lawyers. Maybe some of them can wake up. You know, look at Brent Winters. You know, he's woken up quite some time ago, and he's written books on this stuff, and he's a trained lawyer, and he understands the problem that they've robbed us of our common law.
He also, at the time, she brought him, doesn't even know what a woman is, so.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I believe it's going to happen, it's also up to the people to get the word out and get conversations on this. If we can get conversations going on all of these different platforms where people go to have communications, like Facebook and Twitter, which is no longer, it's now X, and different places, wherever they go, download the papers, push it out, send them to the videos. Get people to see and understand what's going on, particularly use this indictment, and people can get a lot more information beyond the indictment, too, but they can start off with the indictment. And if we can get this conversation and get a fire going across the nation with this, it'll bring more focus on the problem of the courts. And there are a lot of people out there that understand the problem, you know, the non-lawyers particularly, okay, that understand that there's a problem and understand that they've destroyed our court systems and understand that we should be under the law and not equity and under, you know, these courts that really are just total destructive courts. They're courts of chancery. They're chancery courts is what they are. And chancery courts, you get a chancellor comes in and they just do and say and do whatever they want. They make the law up as they go. They're destructive.
So, been there and done that. I've been there and done that. Seen it before.
Yep.
You know, I'm curious about enforcement on this thing. You know, I mean, could it be? Every one of those districts.
The people are the enforcement, because the people speak up about this as we've been educating the people in power. Look at. There's a new sheriff in town. This guy, Trump, is trying to bring America back to where it belongs. He's getting rid of the IRS. He's dumping the Federal Reserve. He's getting rid of a lot of waste. He's going to be getting rid of a lot of these unlawful, government agencies. There's a whole slew of government agencies that have no power, no authority of being there. A lot of these places are just overmanned with too many people because they're doing too many bad things. You've got to get rid of a lot of things, and he's going to clean house. He's got Musk out there. He's going to, you know, start cutting back on these people coming in that we just don't need. He's getting rid of the Department of Education. And that says a lot right there. Just the Department of Education, the Federal Reserve, and the IRS, and that also would get rid of the feds on that. What is it? The ATF. They got to go. What is that with the ATF? They got to go. We don't need them.
I agree.
Because all they do is fleece the people. Everything they do is unlawful.
Yeah, I agree with that. It'll be really interesting. I hope you're right on Trump. You know, I mean, I'm just wondering if every one of those districts, they are in a county and every county has a sheriff. I'm wondering if it push comes to shove, since the people represent or elect a sheriff, the local sheriff can go in there and arrest those SOBs.
Well, you know, the sheriffs would have to get together as a posse of sheriffs, you know, so that'd be one thing. But, you know, remember, there's 3,134 counties, okay? And most of our sheriffs are ignorant to the law, too. Even the ones that want to enforce the law, they're ignorant to the law. They don't understand the common law. There's a lot of sheriff departments out there giving out tickets and acting as, you know, as regular cops, which are code enforcers. They're not law enforcers. They're code enforcers. You know, a police officer doesn't really make the arrest. You could do all the paperwork and everything. The arrest takes place actually when he brings them down to the sheriff in the county jail. But then there are a lot of county jails that don't have the sheriff running it no more. You know, the minions of the New World Order has done a fantastic job on destroying America. But it's up to the people to fix it. We, the people, are sovereign. We, the people, make the law. We, the people, run the courts of law. We decide innocent or guilt. We decide the law and the facts. We decide on what the penalty should be with an iron restitution to the injured party. We, the people, ordained and established this Constitution for the United States of America. We, the people, laid out when a government becomes destructive, we have the right to get rid of it and bring in new people. Right in the Declaration of Independence, the foundation of our law. We have the power. It's just, unless the people get up to exercise that power, it lays limp. It doesn't go anywhere. We are the lawmakers. We wrote the law. You know, the only law that government writes, that the legislators write, the only law are the law powers that we gave them under Article 1, Section 8. 18 powers. And those 18 powers was to write those 57 U.S. codes. And but anything in there that's repugnant to the Constitution that we don't like, if that case ends up in a court of law because it becomes criminal for some reason, then we can nullify anything. We're the lawmakers. We're sovereign. People need to understand. They don't understand their power. If people knew their power, we'd raise up and take it right back. But this is why people need to get educated, need to get involved. We need to get this paper out.
You know, there's a lot of people in this organization. A lot of them aren't really active in that. But, I mean, hell, a cup of coffee at Starbucks, if you go there, is $8-$10. If everybody gave $10 a month, even one-tenth of us, we'd have...
We'd have plenty of money, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate that. We only ask for $5.
$5 isn't what $5 used to be. What is it? You said 3/4 cent a dollar, so it's about 5 cents. So.
No, a dollar is 3/4 of a penny now. I just did a paper on that. Now, in 2008, I wrote a paper, 2 cents worth, it was called. And it was the value of the dollar actually had inflated and deflated to the point of 2 cents. And right now, and I figured that ratio out between the cost of an ounce of gold, okay, and a relationship with the silver dollar. The 20 silver dollars equal 1 ounce of gold. That's the way it should have been. That's the way it was in 1900, okay? 20 silver dollars, 1 ounce of gold. When you work the ratio out and then you work out the inflation, it turns out that our dollar is worth 3/4 of a penny. That's what it's worth compared to the power that it had back in, in the turn of the century. If you go to, where did I put that? I think it's under Starter Committee of Safety. Come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools, okay? And then if you come down past the videos, you'll start to see a list of things. And one of the papers we have up here is called, 3/4 of a penny, I think it's called. Where is it? People can take and look at this and see how serious our economic system is. I thought it was right in here. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's up further. PDFs? No. It's got to be in here.
You're not even
here it is. So anybody can take a look at this. Let me show you where I got that. Right here, 3/4 of a penny. Okay, you can download, open up this paper. It's done on Microsoft Word, and you could save it to your computer. You can print it or whatever. But it lays out the value and the inflation and the factors. Today, in I did this in 2024, just the last month or two. And it's at that point in time when I did this, gold was $2,650 an ounce. It started off at $19.96 in 2013, which is what it was since our nation was created. As soon as the Federal Reserve came in, by 1920, gold, an ounce of gold doubled in price, $40. Inflation had already started. Now just think about that. That's what an ounce of gold was, $20. And today it's $2,650. And you know, there's a ratio here between that and silver, you know, the dollar. Okay? So right now, when you work out the ratios, it's 3/4 of a penny. You know, a loaf of bread back in the turn of the century here, coming into the 20th century, a loaf of bread was 6 cents. Okay? A gallon of gas was 12 cents. A gallon of milk was 35 cents. Okay, a new car was $490. A new house was $3,395. The average rent per month was $83. Dow Jones Index was $78. I mean, look at this. And this is all inflation. Okay? You know, we've been boiled alive. We are the proverbial, what is it, the frog that you throw into the hot water? So anyway.
Is you're not even considering the increase in productivity we've had since then. You know, you can do a whole lot more with a computer, for instance, you never could with an editing machine, whatever like that. You know, we've increased productivity, and it still went down. So, I mean, in actuality, it's probably 1/100th of that. You know, I mean, it's what it could be. So the prices should have went down. It shouldn't went up. So
right, and there used to be only one breadwinner in a household. Okay, only one. You know, people now are used to two people working, both, you know, mom and dad are both working, and just to survive, and they're still struggling. So they have a double income, and they're still struggling. Yeah, look, people need to understand how serious this problem is, and only the people can fix this. Now, Trump is working on this. The people need to get behind Trump, but there are certain things we have to push hard on, and one of the things we need to push hard on, he's already fixing the economic system. That's a slam dunk. It's going to be done quite quickly. Okay, getting rid of the Federal Reserve and getting rid of the IRS and the debtor's prison that they have going there. But we, the people, got to push hard on the courts. But it's up to Trump also to leverage that, too, for us. He's got the platform that he can really push it forward on. And there's that new prosecutor, Pamela, I think her name is. I'm trying to remember her name.
Bondi or whatever, yeah.
She sounds pretty good from Florida, yeah. So we're starting to send her papers now, too. We'll see what she does. We're sending her the indictment. That's our major focus on the indictment. But the military has got to act at some point if they don't.
Well, we'll see pretty soon, won't we?
Yep, it's coming. So, something big's going to happen, though. We know that.
Yeah.
They've been destroying California with all those fires. So, anyway.
All right. John, thank you.
Okay, thank you, John. Okay, when they take our next caller, Jim, you got the mic? What's your state? That's your name, Jim.
Jim, yeah. I'm from Washington State, down here behind the enemy lines. We're in trouble here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are in real trouble. We've got this Robert Ferguson last session's attorney general. He's the governor-elect. He is a left of Lenin. This guy is really fiercely going after it. Before he gets in, he's already got a general administrator in our county who acts like a rogue agent himself and twists tails like nobody else, I guess. So the commissioners announce this surprise meeting. We don't know. They say in 8 days we're going to be ready to vote on creating a Department of Corrections and taking the jail away from the sheriff and giving it to the Department of Corrections. And from there, you know, we're going to, I don't know, what I suspect is that now that we don't have the sheriff to protect us in the incarceration thing, that we're just going to have people disappearing.
Well, you know, the sheriff is part and parcel with common law. You can't have common law without a chief law enforcer. There is no law enforcer in any county save the sheriff, but the sheriff has lost control over it, and they don't even know who they are. They don't understand their powers and authorities.
Well, this sheriff came out of the military, and he needs your help, but he's studied quite a bit, and he calls himself a constitutional. He supports the Constitution, and he's read about the strength of, you know, he voices, and they hated him down there at the county. He came in as unpopular as Trump did into Washington, D.C. It was hostile. And the very first thing, comes through the door and things chaotic. Everything's chaos. And that administrator says, well, you know, 911's having some problem over here on communications. So he took dispatch, and the general administrator is running dispatch. And that can be weaponized, of course. And so he took communications away from him. Now, here a year later, there's a surprise vote. They're going to, they voted to take away the office of the sheriff, his duty as a jailer, or, you know, running the jail.
Yeah, they can't do that, though. They can't lawfully.
Well,
they
can, yes, they but can, that's, the, they that's how brazen that. They are.
Yeah, they can do that because they got the guns, but they can't do that lawfully. But that's, look at, we're going to take it all back. We already did a long paper on the sheriff, and we filed that with the United States Supreme Court also concerning the problem with the sheriff. If you read our, I think we also talk about it inside of our paperwork. Let's see, if you go to, let's go to our welcome.
Yeah, I read your paper. I read that. Okay. It's just, I'm shocked at what I didn't know. I was the last class that took civics in the United States in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 72, and it that was the last class that they taught at my high school in Longview, Washington.
Yeah, and that's a conspiracy again to destroy us. And but the thing is this: once we take our federal courts back, one of our first moves is to deal with the sheriff problem. We've laid out the problem with the sheriff. We've laid out the requirement and what needs to be done. And any county.
Yes.
Any state that tries to destroy the sheriff, then we can take that. Once we get the federal courts back, we can pull them into federal courts and require it, because you cannot have a law without a law enforcer. Look at all these police officers, if they're state police or county police or if they're town police or village police, they're all code enforcement officers. They're not officers of the law. They may have a gun, they may have a badge, and they may arrest people for different things. But the final word is every one of them is making a citizen's arrest. People need to understand this. They're making citizen's arrest, even though they're doing it under a certain authority, you know, through the town, the state, or whatever the case may be. The actual arrest takes place at the sheriff when it's delivered into the jail. And, you know, you can't have common law without a sheriff. It's part of the due process of the common law. So we can require and push it back. Now, sheriffs are required to take a certain test or go through a certain course or process of law enforcement, okay, as far as, many things, you know, arresting people. And
yeah, this man's done that.
Right.
Yeah.
The thing is, they should also be required to take a course on the Constitution and the authority and the power of the sheriff and how common law works and the due process of that common law. That also, and we can create that. We've already created a lot of courses on a lot of this stuff.
I've been sending him everything that I read off your site. And I've had to buy a box of reams of paper because I'm copying so much stuff and giving it away. Anyway.
I've written numerous books, but all that I've written is really on a website. You know, the website is huge and tremendous. Has lots of things. All the handbooks I've written, you can download them in PDFs. You don't have to go out and buy them. You can download for free. I mean, if people like the handbooks, pocket, you know, that's nice. And that supports us, of course, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I bought your compendium on it, which is the, what do you call it? The big book.
There's Court
Government Action by Consent.
Government Law, and there's Government by Consent. But yeah, if you go to books, where is it? Books by John Darash. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Here's where I'll list out all the books that I've written. And I'm working on another book. I'm hoping to get it done maybe this week. I don't know. It's taking a little longer than I thought. But in any event, if you go and you can click on any of these links, it'll give you more insight on what the books are about, and then there'll be links to go out and purchase it directly up on Amazon. So anybody who wants to buy books, it helps to support us too, you know.
Yeah. Let me talk to you a little bit about this.
Let me just say one thing about these books.
Go ahead.
The two major books that I've written, and the third book I'm writing is a major book also. This book here, Government by Consent and Court Access in the Common Law, this is 8.5 by 11. The book is an 8.5, just like a sheet of paper, you know, copy paper. 8.5 by 11. It's about, let me take a look, an inch and a quarter, inch and a half thick. It's 550 pages, each of them, okay? So there's a huge amount, a tremendous amount of information, and they're hard covers, okay? And I'm only selling them for $39. I sell them as cheap as possible because I want to get the word out. But we'll make a few dollars off of it, and it supports what we're doing. So, but the thing is, a book like this, this type of book, you send $200, $150, you know, these are law books. And you go on up on Amazon, you see what the price of law books are, and they teach you, you know, gobbledygook, you know? This is the common law. This is the real law.
Right. Yeah, and it just surprised me that I knew nothing about it. And, man, I'm just...
Got to keep the slaves. Got to keep the slaves, you know, ignorant. You can't have a slave.
Yeah, I tell you. And they did a wonderful job, okay? They did it, and I'm pissed. And, you know, our community's pissed, too. There was standing room only meetings. Every place that sheriff went to explain what was happening to him, they had the meeting, and there was about 600 people there. We're talking about a county that is so complacent. So there was not a Republican Party 15 years ago, maybe.
Well that's
and
the
they
other
had
problem.
To, yeah.
The party's
having a party.
Yeah, our founding
well,
fathers.
What happened is they inserted a rhino. They inserted a kind of a person that we just took over this year, you know. So we finally real Americans got a hold of you know some policy in the county, and you know Bob Ferguson, the Attorney General, is doing the same thing here, ignoring everything we put into him, not a word.
Well,
and
look
it's just passing.
Parties are destructive, okay? The parties do not work with a common law republic. It is contradictive to a common law republic. The purpose of parties is to destroy. It's setting one side against the other. Go and see what's going on in Congress with all this stupid stuff, and you got the Democrats, and they're all told how to vote, and they vote against the what's logic and right and common sense because they don't want it. And then you always get a few rhinos in there that'll just tip the boat the same way with them, and that's why we've been destroyed. But
in Washington State, we have the worst, well, the best enemy election system that they could build. It is built by the best, Kim Wyman, who is like the one that was sent to Washington D.C. from Washington State. To tell all the other states how they could cheat too if they you know diligently went about changing the world from a cheat, and there's 210 different ways they can cheat here, and it's unauditable. There's they say they've got an air gap. They say they've got glitches. Well, in fact, they now have a metadata on every household. Every computer has metadata coming off of it. And it's read diligently. And it defines that person as an enemy of the state. That's how they quoted it when they signed that contract to find the potential enemies of the state, you know, that don't like our election system.
Well,
that's
look, as far as the election, as far as the election system is concerned, Trump is definitely fixing that. We need to go back to the way it used to be with paper ballots, and you literally count it at the end of the night within the election district. You see, what they're doing is they take all these election districts, all these papers, all this information, it's all electronic stuff, and they send it up to the county, and they have all these people doing what they have to do in order to get their, to cheat and do whatever it is that they want to do to get into power. But the thing is, these votes should be counted right at the election district. It's a slam dunk, no big, okay? Because the election districts are broken up with a certain number of people, and it could be handed. And it also should be done in public. If the polls close at 9 o'clock, okay, I don't even know what time the polls usually close because I always vote early. But anyway, if it closes at 9 o'clock, there's no reason they should be there any longer than midnight to get a count up and send it out. But once you put it to a county, it's overloading, and that's where the cheating all starts. But anyway, with that, I got to move to the next person because we only got a few minutes.
Thank you.
Okay, appreciate the call. And again,
Now is there any way? Will you put on your notes to follow up a Pacific County, Washington, and just look at it? It's and I would like to email you stuff if you want. Anytime. I'm a member there, and you can find me.
Yeah. What do you want to mail me?
Well, we have a Superior Court, State of Washington, a plaintiff versus Pacific County Commissioners et al., and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 12 other defendants, and it outlines all the felonies that Bob Ferguson did in 2020 election, and added to that this sheriff.
Well, you could send it. I might be able to breeze through it. I don't know how much time I have because my time is so. I mean, I work much too long. You know,
it's amazing. If there's something like a magic wand something I missed, but. I know that what they did is unconstitutional, but they're just getting brazen. If we go ahead and accept it.
Send it to me by email. Send it to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and all of our leadership will get it. And I'll see if I can breeze through it and maybe give a comment or something on it. Okay, just put your phone number.
Thank you.
See if I can get to it, okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, we haven't got much time left, only a couple of minutes, so we've got to move quickly through whatever we have left. So the next caller, we got only a couple of minutes, someone from Washington maybe? Is it Nate? 281 area code? Nate from Washington. 300 number. Going once, twice, three times. Wireless caller, 267 number. You got the mic. Only got a minute or two.
Hello.
How you doing? What's your first name?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you that well. Say it again.
Yeah, what's your first name and your state? And we only got a minute or two, so.
Yeah, Florence, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Okay. I didn't quite hear all the different things or whatever, but as far as it goes with the foreclosure and like the people who are not astute in the whole situation of who to go to when the government, no matter what, in all stages, federal and state, and the sheriff is going forward with doing a foreclosure, even though they do not or did not advertise a person's property on their on the sheriff's list.
Let me just say this real quick. All foreclosures, whether it's tax foreclosures or if it is a mortgage foreclosure, all foreclosures are unlawful. That's why they do what's called a non-judicial foreclosure. Even in states where they don't have anything written up for non-judicial foreclosures, they do non-judicial foreclosures. The reason why they do it is because they can't possibly do a foreclosure in either case, okay, lawfully. right? And they give the appearance of going through a court. So they do run it through a court, but it never really gets filed in a proper way, in a way that it actually went through a court hearing and was decided on. They just make it look like it's a facade, like the Federal Reserve. It's a facade, you know. It's not federal and it has no reserves. And it's got a front building and there's nothing behind it. All your money's in the basement being pumped out and spent for whatever. But here's the thing, okay, what is right and just? And these people, everybody who lost a house to non-judicial foreclosures, and we've done a lot of papers on that some years back. We're going to endeavor to do everything we can to get these people restored. You know, they're probably not going to be able to get their original property back, but they need to be restored, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who has been injured that way will, you know, at some point in time, will help them and assist them. A lot of they're going to have to do a lot of work themselves, and that requires people to be educated in the due process system. So they should be taking the court access and the common law course that we have up online here. It's a 90-hour course. It's a video course, and we have all the papers and there's tremendous amount of paperwork and stuff and forms and everything we provide and teach you how to go through the court system. So. But people need to do that so they can take care of their own business, and we will assist everyone to go through this process. But they have to be restored. Common law says, for every injury, there must be a remedy.
Yes, not understood that. Yes.
There must be a remedy. That's the law. Now, one other thing. You know, all these people that are guilty, that are running this entire world, probably 90% of the economy, well, we need to take that all away from them. Like Trump said, you know, you robbed the diamond store, you got to give the diamonds back, you know. Well, we want the diamonds back because they've robbed us. All this money that they got, you know, they own islands and all kinds of properties. They got stocks, they got gold, they got silver, they got property, they got a lot of liquidity, they got all kinds of things, okay. They got businesses, large corporations. Well, we need to take it all away from them, sell it, and get it out to the people. And all of that money that's taken back from them that they stole from us, we need to take it back. And that is what's going to restore the people, not just here in America, but around the world. It's huge. It's huge.
Yeah, we understand that it's huge. Okay, but what I'm trying to, and I hear that, and I know that it's huge, but this is what I'm saying, like right now, for instance, for someone like myself personally, mm-hmm. you know, we went through, been going through the court system. You have beaten the court, it have beaten the court on record, on their own process. But when you have that, you have to fight clerks, and then you go through the fact that you have to fight every level, every one of them, and even the attorney general, who's supposed to be the highest state police officer, the highest officer, ranking officer within the state, that does not respond or even initiate an official investigation. Like, for example, I beat the mortgage company in the federal court, and the U.S. trustee and the Department of Justice, as retaliation, took and put my personal Social Security number in the file and the record of the courts. Now, who are you going to tell that? Who are you going to get to stop the onslaught until a whole, you know, situation where everyone gets involved or whatever to stop the people from, you know, with the sheriff being able to come to people's doors, you know, in their houses with guns at them? I mean, you know, you having these things in the court and different things of that nature, and we cannot get any immediate relief or no one to sit up there that's going to stand up properly for the law. What is good is it going to do to you for you to have all these things in different court and nobody really do anything about it?
Well, I agree. That's why we have to get rid of all these people. We've got to get rid of the Bar Association. Everybody that operates in the courts as an officer needs to leave the bar. Most of these people should be going to jail. I think every judge should go to jail because they've been doing nothing but destroying the people and injuring everybody, families, breaking up families, destroying children's lives by taking them away from their parents. You know, the family court, in my opinion, is the most evil court in America. But the thing is this. Here's the thing. The people need to step up. They need to get educated. They need to participate. They need to get involved. Get involved with National Liberty Alliance. Start doing things in your community. Get a committee of safety going. Take control of the school boards. Work with us when we need help. You know, support what we're doing. You know, we are going to take back the federal courts. That is our goal. That is what our target is. Because you see, the federal court is the highest court of the land. And when you take a federal court back and make that a court of justice, and we are working diligently to do that. We've been doing that for a long time. Once we take that federal courts back and bring them back into courts of justice, then what they need to do then at that point, then they'll have no choice but to champion the Constitution, to champion the people when their rights have been violated. That's their purpose. So when you go into the lower courts, now the lower courts are going to have to obey what the federal court law is. They're going to have to become courts of law also. And it's going to take some cases because these judges are going to be resistant on the lower level. And you're going to have to pull them into the federal court, and they're going to fleece them for their money. We'll take their money away from them. You know, my rule of thumb in a lawsuit, as I look at $1,000 worth of in true value, real money, it's silver dollars. That's what I want. Morgan silver dollars, $1,000. That's valued at about $26,000 to $30,000. Right now in today's money, okay? And for every violation of my right, due process and anything else, it's $1,000 for each one of them, okay? And that's what people need. Once you sue in one court in an area, that's going to the other courts are going to realize what's going on, and you sue the other courts, that's what's going to straighten them up. Same thing in the state courts. They'll be forced through the federal courts, and we'll fleece them of their money, and we'll take their jobs away from them, and require them to honor their oaths. And when they deny us due process, that, in my opinion, is a crime. Okay, so it's going to take time for that to really acclimate, to work its way down into the lower courts. If we can get the federal courts, you know, within a month or two, if that's possible, or as quick as possible, we get the federal courts back and they're back under the law, it might take a year or so to clean up the courts below. But it's going to take the people to get a little educated to be able to step up and say, no, I don't want, I'm not participating with your stuff. I didn't sign up for your game. I want no part of it. Okay? Take your codes and all this stuff, and you can do whatever you want, but don't come out after me. And if you don't leave me alone, you give them one chance to do the right thing, and you move it to federal court for cause, and you sue them for everything they got. You go after the prosecutor and the judge combined, and maybe even the clerk. Okay? Because if it's on a state level and it's an elected individual, then you definitely want to go after the clerk.
But that's the whole thing. Like, for example, where the judges, you know, make orders saying that you can no longer file. Like, for example,
I understand that. But the thing is we need to change all that. You're not going to beat the system. I'm as depressed as you are. I get so many cases out there, and I got personal cases, and I got a few people I'm doing personal cases for, and we don't win anything. We're right. I mean, we write great cases. We got justice on our side, and they're doing evil. They don't even obey their own laws, and still they. Anyway, because they just throw you out of the court. So, look, we're all going through the same thing. We understand that. We know it. We're working on fixing it. But we need people's help to fix it, you know? Unfortunately, you need money to operate, number one, okay? That's unfortunate. But you also need people to get educated, and they got to get some time into their communities. We're teaching them everything, you know? If you go to start a committee of safety, just click on that, and there's a breadcrumb trail. It'll lead you through all this stuff, give you videos and information. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. It takes time, but many, many hands make light work. It's not just one person. You got 20 people with 20 different minds. You will deal with any problem and work it out. You know, someone will get a little education here, a little education there, and collectively you'll have a great education because people will pick up on areas that they have an interest in. Mm-hmm. But with that, I got to move to the last caller because I do want to get the last caller in, and we're way over. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, we'll see you next week. You can bring up more, and we'll talk more on this.
Thank you.
Roger, you got the mic. The last caller. What state you're from?
Hi, John. Can you hear me?
Yep. Yeah. Go.
Turn my volume down.
We can hear you.
Citizens grand juries. I think everything I've heard tonight, if people would just pay attention to getting a citizens grand jury, would resolve all these issues. Am I correct in that?
Well, yeah, the thing is you want it to get under the auspices of the court. We want to take control away from them. That's one of the things we're working on also. We're going to be doing this in the courts. First, we have to win the federal courts back. We've been training people on this by taking our courses to get educated. I've got a handbook that I've started on. I got to get back to it, but it'll be an administrator's handbook, which will really help it and assist the individual on the things that they need to understand and know and do as an administrator. So we want to create administrators in every county. Every county has a state court. So we want 4 administrators and a paralegal who's also administrator, so actually it's 5, in every county. And those individuals, we take all the power away from our attorneys that have been controlling this, and we orientate the juries. We create juries that are just. We make them free and independent grand juries, and we do that through orientation, an 8-hour period, easily done in 8 hours, easily done, and then send them away with a handbook. And then we empower them. You, if you see something you want to investigate to the grand jury, you let us know. We'll get you access. You want to go into that county building over there and look into their computers and open up their file cabinets? Fine. We'll make the phone call and we'll open up that way for you to get in there and do your investigations on anything they want, because that's the way courts of justice is supposed to work. That's common law. The people, we're the boss. We get to look at anything and figure anything out and take care of the business. So the grand jury has the power to investigate. And we need to train the administrators in order to teach and assist these people to do those things. And so that's what we're building.
Am I a member of this jury pool by being a member of NLA?
Well, yeah, to a degree. We used to have a lot of meetings we had quite a few of them anyway for indictments. And the last time we came together, we agreed on certain things on indictments for judges, particularly that don't obey the law. And so we haven't been really having to come together as a grand jury. But look at what we need to do is to build the administrations, and you need to get grand juries in your county. That's what you need to do. And a grand jury should not be a grand jury that's sitting for 2, 3, 4 years. No, there's a whole good process, and we'll get into the details of that in the handbook that I'm writing on how long a jury should sit together. And again, you know, if a jury's only coming together once a week, maybe then they should be sitting for a month or two, you know. If the jury's coming together every day, then maybe it should be a week or two. You know, and if there's that much business going on, then you need lots of grand juries operating, not just one. And you know, some places, there's places out in California I heard about, they have grand juries with foremen. It's been foremen for 2, 3, 4 years. Same thing down in Florida. I'm aware of one where there's a lawyer that's become the foreman of a grand jury and has been operating for years. I mean, what is that? That's power. That's authority. And that's abusive. And it's dangerous.
So the first thing is to get your administrator. Go back to jury.
Right. Right. The administrators are, look at, right now, there's the commissioners of jurors. At least that's what they call it here in New York. Maybe it's got a different name. But every state has some kind of every county has some kind of a commissioner of jurors. And that's made up of officers of the court. Generally speaking, it's made up by bar attorneys. So they get these large salaries, okay, and they do a terrible job because they don't apply justice, they apply injustice, okay? And they stack the juries, the grand juries, the trial juries, they all get stacked. So they get the income, the outcome that they want, okay? Well, we need to take that away from them because they're the state. They don't belong in the people's business. Well, people need to understand that courts of law are to be run by we, the people. Not by these people who are agents of the government. No judge should walk into a court of law. How can a man who is really working for you, how can an individual who works for you judge you? That's the they can't. It's there's something wrong with that. Okay? So they're the servant. The servant does not judge the master. Okay? Only the master can judge the master. And that's why we have juries of our peers. Only the people can judge the people. So, and we got to get back to that. So we have to take the control of the juries away from the bar association, the bar attorneys, and the courts. It's got to be separate from the courts. And so we will set up a system in every county, and each one, and the money that they're giving to these people to run that, we'll take that. We'll do it a lot cheaper than that. Still pay people good. They'll have a good, you know, income and benefits and so on and so forth. But it'll be the people, and they'll do the job that the people need to be doing, and not the government. Okay, because the government is corrupt. You can't give this power to the government. So people need to understand, we the people are the law. And until they realize that and get educated, you know, we'll continue to be slaves. Is that what people want? Then we'll be slaves. But with that, I got to end our program. You want a final word there, Roger?
Yeah, just so I'm becoming jury administrator. Am I a member of the jury pool by being a member of that?
No. If you want to become an administrator, you're going through the training of learning the necessities, and we'll have a handbook out shortly on that too. But for you to work in your county as a paid salary, 40 hours a week, okay, and we get the funding from the state, county, which gets it from the state anyway, and then you would run the juries. In other words, you would call for the juries and people would be called in to sit as a grand jury or a trial jury, and you'll orientate them and protect them and make sure they're not abused by the government agents in that building. So that's what we're building. We're not building juries per se. We're building administrations for the juries.
And how do they get in the jury pool?
Oh, from the local. You could do it. Right now they could do it through the voting rolls. You get a list off of that. Okay, and call people in for the jury to be called for jurists. You could do it through the Department of Motor Vehicles. Okay.
Okay, stay with the door now. I got it.
Yeah. So you pull people in and you educate them on the common law. You make them free and independent individuals, and you give them a handbook to walk away with, and you let them know that if they have any questions or problems during their time in their sessions, we're open. Here's the phone number. Give us a call. Here's our office. Come down and see us.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So that the people need to take control of this. We need to take control of the courts. There's a book out there, and it's written by Brent Allen Winters. It's the excellence of the common law. You go read that book to see how courts used to run. And there's always been that struggle between the civil law courts and the law courts. It's always been there. But from time to time, you know, one would get over the other. It's a struggle to get to that process because the government wants to constantly take that power away from the people. We need to take it back once and for all and end it. But it can only be done through education. We need to educate our children, okay, so that they and their children and their children's children and so on in order to be a free and independent people. Without that education, we can't be free.
Thank you very much.
With that, I got to close. Thanks, Roger. Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And please get involved. Help us out with a few bucks tonight or tomorrow if you can to help get this mailing out. And support National Liberty Alliance, hopefully. Give us $5 a month or more, whatever you can afford. And again, we'll see you next Monday. Good night. And get the word out. Get the papers out. Get the site out. Good night.